Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lamberth. Today is Sunday, September 27th, 2020. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and even Podbean, the host site. If you like this show, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts. Let everybody know why you like it. Give it 5 stars because it makes me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made so far, including the one that I made over 7 years ago to buy this equipment, take my income tax money and not just buy sneakers and get podcasting equipment and do this thing and continue to do it in spite of who liked it or who didn't. So rate it. If you like this thing, rate it. Let everybody know and spread the word because it makes the algorithm, it does something with the algorithm and it makes people know that this thing exists. So yeah, make Black Lives Matter, make a black guy's life a little better and like a thing that he did. How about that? Remember, Black Lives Matter, even if it matters more than drywall, more than the Kentucky government would lead you to believe. So, all right. Starting off hot. This is episode 453. There's no guest. It's just me sitting on my couch after a pretty nice dinner, after a nice early dinner. I don't know what you call that, but when you eat pasta, I made myself some spaghetti. And I hadn't made it in a long time. I made a nice vat of spaghetti from scratch. I don't know how much scratch you could say it is from scratch if you, because I don't count making spaghetti with the ragu sauce, even though I cut up my own vegetables. I don't count that. I don't call that from scratch. That's the lazy way to make it. I don't even say it would be that tedious, but it took me listening to a whole podcast to make it, about an hour and a half, and cooking all the ingredients, cutting the vegetables for my salad. What I do, I got this recipe from a guy that I used to work with like 10 or 12 years ago, from this Italian guy. And it's kind of the way that my mom used to make it. My mom used to be the best person in my life who made the best spaghetti that I had ever eaten, until I made spaghetti the way that my coworker Scott told me how to make. And I told my mother the first time I made this, I was like, "Mom, this is better than your spaghetti." And she said, "I don't believe it," until I made it for her and my dad when I was home one time. And they were like, "Yeah, that is pretty damn good, Chris." So I'm really good at this, ladies. Sorry, fellas. But yeah, I'm really good at this, making spaghetti. And it turned out good, but I think the next time that I decide to make spaghetti, I'm not going to eat it that same day. I have to make my sauce. I'm just going to make my sauce, let it cool off or whatever, and let it whatever the chemicals in the food do, because the next time, you know, it was good. I ate some of it. And I think the next time that I eat it, which will be maybe Tuesday, Wednesday, it'll be even better. Spaghetti, leftover spaghetti is always good. The sauce is always better the next day. It's too hot. You can't really enjoy it to the fullest, you know, when you make it right away. But I was kind of hungry. I had cereal early this morning. I woke up super early this morning. I'm so washed. I don't know if it's part of like the way that COVID's hit, you know, it hit this year. Because for the past, I look at this for like, I've been doing stand-up for 11 years. I've had a day job. Been in New York City, in this New York area for 13 years. And for the most part, I just never stopped going, especially when I started doing stand-up. So for 11 out of those 13 years, having a day job and doing stand up and acting and all that stuff, I've been like, I kind of been like just really washed. And I go to And so not having those things to keep me like super active and motivated, it's just been like, I'll go to bed. I go to sleep early. Like people will text me at like 9 o'clock and I don't text them back until the next day because I'm asleep. Oh man. I wake up and earlier this week I woke up and, it was whenever the Lakers they lost one day this week. And I was like, oh, man. OK, so when I just go to sleep, when I pass out on the game, the Lakers win. But the time that I woke up, they were losing. So I was like, maybe if I just knock out at like 8:45, 9:30, then they'll win. And sure enough, I woke up and they won. So that was good. Congratulations to the Lakers. LeBron James, amazing. 10 NBA finals. What is it? 9 NBA finals in 10 years? How does that go? How did they say it? He's been in the last 9 out of 10 he's been in them. So he's amazing. He's a triple-double in a closeout game. Remarkable. I hope they win it. I think if he wins this season, there's obviously going to be an asterisk for the haters, but for the normal people, we'll just say, wow, that's an amazing accomplishment. LeBron James, you won 3 championships with 3 different teams and 2 different conferences. You won. And they said it was going to be hard for you. You won in the East twice. No. Would that be his fourth? He won 2 with Miami, 1 with Cleveland. Yeah. So this would be his fourth. Just 2 with Miami, 1? These 3. This would be his fourth. So that's amazing. And they said, oh, he's winning it. He can only win in the East. And he finna do it in this second joint, man. He finna do it in the West. He about to get that joint in the West. Hopefully Miami and Boston will just tire each other out and it'll be light work. But I'm scared of both those teams because Miami just, they are relentless with shooting these threes. This Tyler Hero kid, he's not afraid of anybody. That's just like Jamal Murray is so good, too. He's emerging. He emerged as a star this season, especially in the bubble. I don't remember who said this. I feel like it was Dennis Scott. I was watching it on NBA TV, and I'm not sure who said this. But they went back to a tape of early in the season. And they said that don't be surprised if the Nuggets make a run in the playoffs. They got a nice young team. They're talented and they could surprise a lot of people. And lo and behold, they did. I know it was Dennis Scott was on the show and it was, I can't remember who else it was on the show, but yeah. So, I like to see that, man, but I was afraid that Jamal Murray did that reverse layup on LeBron. LeBron got in his way. He was about to dunk it. LeBron got in his way. He scooped it under him and switched hands, scooped it under, made the bucket. Amazing. So that was a scary team, and they're out of the way. And now 4 more games, Lakers, and you can take it home, man. I hope they do it. That would be amazing. Win it for Kobe. That'd be a beautiful thing, man. So I'm pulling for LeBron. Always have always been pulling for him. So I hope they pull that out. Yeah, so I'm happy for them enjoying that. I've got NFL on mute. I got Red Zone on mute. Who's playing right now? The Panthers and the Chargers. My God, that was so horrible. Tyrod Taylor's lung got punctured by the team doctor. And most people were saying when they first heard about that, they were saying that somebody said that so people on Twitter were saying, oh, you know, he's got to own some of that team by the time he's done with litigating these people, the organization and whatnot. And apparently there's a rule that if there's some form of malpractice that a team doctor does, you cannot sue. You can't take legal action. I don't know how true that is, but that's what I've heard that's what they've said. I don't know any more about it, but I know that he's not playing, and I don't know that that's threatening his career. So I hope, you know, he can do something or get some kind of compensation. I don't know. I saw like this resilient post that he had on Instagram. I follow him on Instagram, but man, you know, they trying to take our black quarterbacks out, young. You know, what's going on, man? I just hope he's okay and he gets the help that he needs, and hopefully he can play again if he would like to, and I'm sure he would like to. What else? Carolina is beating them. The Buccaneers are beating the Broncos. Did the Patriots win? I think the Patriots did win. So Cam Newton won. Two black quarterbacks going against each other. Russell Wilson and Dak Prescott. The Patriots won. I haven't paid much attention to the NFL this week because I made spaghetti during the first game, and that took like an Italian aunt. I made some sauce, made some gravy, as they call it gravy. So I think that's going to be better tomorrow. What else? This week has been, man. So last week we lost RBG. Now we got a new Supreme Court nominee. That happened. Less than a week later, we got the new nominee. People were upset about that. Obviously, what happened on Wednesday with Breonna Taylor, not a surprise. I would have liked to have been surprised with them actually giving them a real, you know, giving those cops a real charge and indicting them and whatnot. But, you know, the DA works for the state. He's trying to be governor, and the best way for him to do that is to let those cops slide and give them $12 million. I think what's the real, this is what I was talking to a friend. I've been thinking about this. I was going to write about this. If I was doing stand up, I would make a joke that, you know, killing black people is, and the families getting money. That's the new reparations. You just don't get to enjoy it. You'll be dead. Like if I got killed by a cop and I was wrongfully killed, those cops probably wouldn't get prosecuted, but my parents would get a lot of money. So they could get a new house if they wanted, or a new car and all that stuff, but I'd be dead. They'd be driving the new car thinking about dead me getting murdered by the cops. That's the new reparations that you can enjoy if you're alive. Like, you have to know somebody or be in the family of somebody to reap the benefits of those reparations. Because I don't see them giving us any type of Chappelle sketch money. You know, I don't think we're going to get to enjoy it that way. I think that's what's going to happen. To shut you up, they're going to give you money, and you're still sad about your dead family member, your dead black family member. Pretty morbid, but I would have made it funny. I'd have made it funny, you know? Like, I just wouldn't want, like, I wouldn't want, if I got murdered by cops, I hear people say, oh, let's burn the motherfucker down, burn it all. Don't burn it down. I said this on Three Guys On. Don't burn any property. Just break in, get yourself a refrigerator. You do it, make it a team effort. You make it a team effort, get you a nice appliance and enjoy yourself on my death. Get yourself something practical. Try to get a couple things. You get a flatbed. You rent a U-Haul in another town before you go somewhere, and you just make it, be organized, organize yourself. And then every time you get up in the middle of the night, your anxiety, you know, is messing with you. You go to your refrigerator that tells you when you need more eggs. You go to that refrigerator, get yourself some nice ice water, and you contemplate over your, you know, you have a nice refrigerator, and you or maybe you get a 70-inch flat screen, and you can think, man, that Chris Lambert riot, that was a big score for us. You know, just think about that, you know. Don't mess up any prop. Just don't be practical. Don't destroy property that's inside of a place. Don't destroy valuable property inside of buildings that you could just benefit off of. You know, you break the glass or something, but just go in and get yourself some shit from a rent-a-center. Or what is it called? Is it called Aaron Rents now? Do that. Why not? You know? Oh, man. New reparations. Wow. Wow. On a lighter note, what did I do this week? TPS reports. I went to Checkers. I had not been to Checkers in ages. There's a Checkers in Patterson. I was just kind of restless and I was hungry and I wanted to just go somewhere. And it was like, it wasn't late. It was like 7 o'clock maybe. It was just dark out. And I was like, oh man, I think I just wasn't feeling well. And I took a nap. That might've been Wednesday. Yeah. I think it was. Yeah, that was like a Wednesday night I went out. And I was on my way to Checkers. And I was following the GPS, and I had made a wrong turn. I was in Paramus, New Jersey, which is a neighboring town in Bergen County. And Paramus is like suburbs. It's always, to me, like, it's just like a big city in where I live. And Paramus, is it a town? I think Paramus is a Jersey. They got these different city in New Jersey. It's a borough. Paramus is a borough in Bergen County, New Jersey, located 15 to 20 miles northwest of Midtown Manhattan and approximately 8 miles west of Upper Manhattan. The Wall Street Journal characterized Paramus as quintessentially suburban. Yeah, so it's the suburbs and it's nice. But man, I knew there was some nice, like Bergen County is like one of the richest counties in New Jersey. And I'm not a part of that, obviously, but and there's some nice houses in these other towns like Oradell and that's one of them, Alpine and all that stuff, like where Chris Rock lives. But I made a wrong turn in Paramus and I had to do like Jersey. If you miss your turn, like you have to wait a couple minutes before you can make your U-turn or before you can recover and get back on the right track. And that's what happened to me. And I got sidetracked and I went into this neighborhood, beautiful houses. I didn't know they were that, like, I didn't know Paramus had it like that. And I was like, oh my God, this is one of those neighborhoods that I tell you that I'm always, I'm fearful of being in because it's so beautiful and so nice. And nobody wants to see a Ford Fusion driving around. You know, nobody wants to see that in that type of neighborhood. So I was just like, oh God, let me get out of here. Let me get back to regular people land. But my God, Jersey is beautiful. I love it, man. Jersey gets a bad rap. I've told people this for years since I started doing this podcast. And I think people get it twisted, man. People get it twisted with that turnpike and that smell near Sea Caucus and that Sopranos opening intro or whatever. Jersey's a beautiful state and it's like a lot of wealth. It's just like unfathomable wealth. Like just like taking trips to like, not even trips. It's like 15, 20 minutes north of where I live. And going to this like market, this place called Market Basket. What town is that? Franklin Lakes, maybe, I want to say. And it's just a different world. Like food, like they have this really good, they have really good ground beef at that market. They make good burgers. They make good hamburger patties. And for 4th of July, I went there and got some. It's really good. And it, I just saw a guy in a, he had a Lamborghini. And even though that area was super rich, it still looked kind of off. It just looked really off that this dude was driving around in a Lamborghini. It was just like, it was weird, but it was like, wow, that was cool. But, you know, I don't know. I don't even know why I'm even bringing that up. But anyway, Paramus is beautiful. And I was driving around that night. I was shook. And I was like, let me get back where I need to be. And then I went to Paterson. And I hadn't been in Paterson, New Jersey. Is like, I don't know if you know, but it's like, if you remember the Hurricane, that movie, that Denzel movie where he plays Reuben Hurricane Carter, that's where Reuben Hurricane Carter was from. Paterson is kind of, it's like, it's definitely, it's a city, and it's not, it's in Passaic County, and it's like slightly west of where I live, and it's kind of just like up the road into the, you know, it's not that far from me, but it's different. Like it's definitely a city. It reminded me, and I hadn't been in a long time. I remember taking a, when I first moved here, I went to the ENT, and that was in like Wayne, New Jersey, which is like maybe 20 minutes. I don't know, Wayne. It's not that far. Like the movie theater over there that I used to. They got an Amazon, not an Amazon. They got a AMC Prime theater. And that's the, one of those cool, they remodeled theaters, and they it's nice over there. And, just that mall is pretty cool, and it's not that far. And so that's like 20 minutes or so away. And I just remember going through Paterson. It was like, oh, this is different. And it feels like it's a place that used to be more, it used to be like a bustling city, and it kind of reminded me of Newark a little bit, but I don't know, like Newark is definitely back in a lot of ways. Like I've had Justin Williams on the podcast, and we talked about how Newark was coming back and all this stuff, and I was just driving through it, and you could definitely tell the difference from like me being like less than 10 minutes away from that beautiful, those beautiful, that beautiful neighborhood in Paramus. And it was like cops everywhere. It was a hood, and it was like, and it was definitely a lot more going on. And you can definitely see the different ethnicities out while I was driving. I think I might go just drive through there. If I go to Checkers, it'll be in the afternoon. If I go there, like the Checkers burgers were okay, but the fries tasted good like back in the day. That's the thing about Checkers. Checkers is always in the hood, but it seemed like Paterson had a lot more going on. And I was looking on the Wikipedia page for Paterson, and I noticed it seemed like it was just like a lot of industry, like back in the day, and like how stuff had just kind of closed down because it was like an actual city that thrived at one point. And they said it's like popular for silk, I think. Yeah, it said, they had mills there. The industries developed in Paterson were powered by the 77-foot-high Great Falls and a system of water raceways that harnessed the falls' power, providing power for the mills in the area until 1914 and fostering growth of the city around them. The district originally included dozens of mill buildings and other manufacturing structures associated with the textile industry, and later the firearms, silk, and railroad locomotive manufacturing industries. What the hell is that? It's like an airplane or a car going by. So its early nickname was, one of its nicknames was the Silk City. Huh. So guns and silk in Paterson. Maybe is that why it kind of became like a hood, because of the guns or something? There's a lot of, let's just say when I was driving through Paterson, there were a lot of cops around, and you don't normally see that where I live. I mean, they're around, but they wasn't around it looks like they were just around a lot more. And my head was definitely on a swivel. Behind Newark and New York, the brewing industry was booming in the Patterson in the late 1800s. So it seemed like a lot of shit was going on, and it just kind of, it's just like, I guess it kind of, I don't know. I definitely want to, I haven't driven through Patterson in a long time, and that makes me definitely want to go back. There's a place called Lambert Castle there. Maybe I'm royalty. They don't have the H on there. That's Lambert Castle, originally called Bell Vista, is located within the Garrett Mountain Reservation in Patterson, Passaic County, New Jersey. The building was built in 1892 and was added to the National Register of Historic Places on June 3rd, 1976. Huh. Interesting. I really like New Jersey, man. There was this place that was like, there was this castle place, like maybe 30 miles west of me. I did stand up in like this old castle. What the fuck was the name of that? Castles in New Jersey. I hope I get this. I'm not going to edit this out. What the hell was it? Oh my God. Theater House Castle. Jesus Christ. Oh my God. I'm going to get it. Theater. Pax Amicus Theater. Thank God. It was on the tip of my tongue. It was in Bud Lake, New Jersey, and I did this comedy show. It was pretty cool. Like this place was basically like this little, it was built like a castle. And they did community theater out of it. And it was pretty neat. I had a good set out there. And it wasn't far from a Fuddruckers, but I don't think I went to that Fuddruckers after that show. There's this place I used to do out there. I used to go do a show. I used to open for people. And then after I opened for people, I would leave and go to Fuddruckers. One time, the last time I did that, I think it was last year, I did the show and it closed. I was waiting to get paid, and then the Fuddruckers was closed. I was like, no! And there were still people in there, and I was like, oh, man. And so I think I went back the next day, or I went a day or two later. I think I did, fat boy. What else? So that was an interesting excursion, and yet another reason that Jersey is a beautiful state, and I don't care how much you people like to hate on it, but I like it here, okay? No matter what J.L. Covan tells you, New Jersey is pretty cool. If you make enough money, you can go to New York City anytime you want, and J.L.'s doing pretty well with his Trump stuff and his day job. So if he wants to experience New York when things are back to quote unquote normal, he can always go back to New York. That's the thing, man. Anytime you want to go into the city, you can go. You can. I lived my dreams in New York City and lived out my dreams and, and went home in New Jersey. Nothing wrong with that. I like this state. Overall, but it made me think about that. It makes, you know, it's something about, and Jersey's and Patterson's not a big city or anything, but it just made me think about all these towns, like especially like I remember doing shows in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, which is a steel town, and the decline of all that and what people are doing and, you know, what stuff you can see the artifacts, history of that when you drive through all these towns and stuff. I remember filming something in Pittsburgh, you know, seeing that. It's just like, man, would you remember what this stuff used to be like? And every time I have, like, you know, I talk to, you know, if you go back a couple years ago to that Thomas Attila Lewis episode where we talk about Pittsfield, Massachusetts, and like, that's the one thing that I do, like, I miss the act of performing stand up, but another thing I miss even more is just like traveling. Cause when I was a kid, we didn't really travel that much. We would just go to North Carolina and, you know, we'd see family and my grandparents and stuff. But we never really traveled, like did road trips or anything like that, you know, but I always liked. So I guess when I started doing stand up, you know, I got to see all the go to different towns. And, you know, like I've said this on the show before, like, you know, like driving upstate New York, like crazy upstate, like 5-6 hours north. And you see how, like, you can see kids playing basketball, like, outside, like, in your neighborhood and stuff. And then you drive, like, 6 hours up, you see a kid running around with a lacrosse stick. That's how you know you're in, like, another region and shit, you know? Like, things are different, you know? I just miss that. I miss going to Walmart after shows. I don't know. I talk about that a lot, too. Like, I miss just going to Walmart because the Walmarts around here are like shit shows. More Walmarts like in the country are more laid back, and you have like items and stuff there. It's just not a shit show where you have to like walk over people to get the stuff. Like, they're used to it. Like, it just seems like they're used to Walmarts in non-metropolitan areas. So it's not like, oh, people just go fucking ape shit over here. I don't know what it is. It's like always packed. But anyway, that's one thing I miss about stand-up. I miss a lot. I miss it a lot, you know? I know people are still doing it, but I guess it's cool and punk rock to do shows outside, and even though it's banned, but people are still doing it. And I love it, man, but I don't know. I feel... how do the kids say? I feel some kind of way about doing it in these times. Well, you know, they're playing football. Football's on fucking A, man. It's fucking football's on. You know, Skip Bayless got on Dak Prescott for his priorities. His brother killed himself. And Skip Bayless said, don't be sad. You're fucking quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. Don't be sad. Let's play. And they're playing, guys. And Dallas is down 20 by what? They're down 23-15. Down by 8. They could still come back. So it goes. And we're still doing it. Oh boy. So PlayStation 5 news. I get out of work on, what is that? On Thursday. What is that? That's like a, God, when was that? Was on a Thursday, I think. I don't know what I was doing something. I was doing something on Thursday. I get this email from GameStop. GameStop's like, hey, bro, we know that you like PlayStation and you're on our email list. We're going to have some in stock for you to pre-order it on Friday. And I called the PlayStation. I called the GameStop. I was like, you guys going to get any, is it going to be crazy? He was like, you know, people were probably going to be waiting at the door in the morning, so it's probably, you're probably going to want to wait out front. And I was like okay, thanks for the heads up. And I said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to take off work just to get in line for a fucking PlayStation. And so I get off work, I'm going to my car, and I call GameStop. I call this one. And I think because, you know, GameStops are like, I think JL and I talked about this, how GameStop, there's more GameStops around than Starbucks. And sadly, there's GameStops are going to be closed. And I think just the way the market's set up, I hate to see people losing jobs, but the way that the market is set up, it's just not conducive to the industry. Well, what is it? It's just not, it's not really feasible to go to GameStop anymore. Obviously, everybody can tell you how they just bilk you out of your money or your trade-ins and all that stuff. But it's kind of a store where, you know, maybe you can get a decent price on a used game if it's really old, but you're not really gonna, you're not making any real deals. So you're either you're gonna get a game when it first comes out. Some games, though, I will say, when I've gotten games used, if a game's like a couple years old, I've been all right. I've been okay getting them. But now you can just download these fucking things, man. You, unless you're a nerd like me and you want some kind of special edition of a game that you've been obsessed about for 7 years, and it comes with a fucking statue of the character that you love, then by all means. But other than that, if you just want the game, you can just download that shit from the PlayStation Store. It's so easy. Like, I got a couple those collector's editions of Tealoo 2, but if I still downloaded the game because you can't, especially if you're getting something sent to you on release day and you're obsessed about it, you can't guarantee that that's going to happen. You're not getting the game at midnight. You're not getting the game when it drops. So it's like you 12:01, 12 o'clock that day, boom, it's there and it's downloaded and you pre-download it. They do the pre-download a week before and you just like, boom, it's there. So that just takes GameStop right out of the mix. And I guess that's why they released those. There's two of the PS5s. There's the digital one and then there's one with the disc. But I'll always go with the disc because maybe some of the games are backwards compatible. But anyway, I call this GameStop on Friday around 3 o'clock. And I'm walking to my car and I call and I said, you guys don't have any more PS5s for pre-order, do you? And he was like, no, sorry, we don't. And I was like, oh, okay, man, no worries. And then I talked to the guy for like 3 minutes because he just kept talking. And I was like, oh, so you guys, he said, we only got three. And I said, you only got three? And I was like, well, how many people were waiting out? He's like, people were waiting outside. And I was like, dude, the store didn't burn down. And he was like, no, he laughed. And he was just telling me about, like, you know, the process. And I was like, well, he's like, maybe we'll probably get some more in a couple weeks and stuff. But at this point, I'm kind of like, I don't know. I can wait. Like, I just really, would I like to have one? Yeah. But then it's just kind of like, well, you're putting Spider-Man Miles Morales out for PlayStation 4. And that's the only game right now that I'm excited about. And really, it's probably a reasonable facsimile of Spider-Man PS4 that came out 2 years ago, which is a fantastic game. But it's... And it's probably going to be like The Lost Legacy. So how long... Let's see. There's a website that tells you how long video games are. How long is Uncharted? How long is Uncharted Lost Legacy? 10 hours. So it's the game. It's like 10 hours. I don't know how much it's gonna be. I will just get that. I will get that on November 12th. I'll get it for PlayStation 4. I don't really care about, like, there's an Ultimate Edition that's more expensive, and you can get Spider-Man PS4 remastered. I don't think you need that. If you had a PS4 Pro, and then I'm kind of thinking about this with the PlayStation 5, it's like, how much better do they get? How much better is this actually gonna look? Now, I will probably change my tune once I actually get a hold of it. But for now, I'm going to be a bit of a hater. But what I will say is, like, how much of what do I want to say? I'll change my tune once I start seeing that Horizon Forbidden West and then God of War Ragnarok. That's only two, so that's three games for a console. I don't care about the price. I assumed that it was going to be $500, and I've paid. I think my phone will be paid off in a month or two, and that these phones now cost $1,000. So half $1,000 for a new console that you have for about 5 years. I've had my PlayStation 4 for 5 years. And that's longer than the life of a cell phone. That's usually two. I'm good. Like this PS4 Pro, and I'm saying it, I'm trying to convince myself. And at the same time, it's like, I'm right. I haven't beat God of War. I'll get to that in a second. Shit. I haven't even finished Spider-Man PS4. I haven't even finished the DLC. I thought that I had finished it, but I realized that there's another part of the DLC that I bought that I haven't finished. So I started that last week, and I said, I'm only going to play video games on the weekends. And usually I do. Like, I had a great time playing God of War yesterday. I played for a good while. I enjoyed it. It was so much fun. That is a very good game. It's really good. Although those of you that have played God of War, those Valkyries, holy shit. I tried to play, it's like some hidden chamber, and I tried twice. The first time, like, he hit me like two times and I was dead, and I was like, oh, okay, I guess I'm not upgrading Kratos's armor enough. This is fucking intense. So I was like, I'm leaving that alone. Let me just play the story. Shit. Let me just try to fucking play the story and finish the game. Then maybe I'll go try to fight these Valkyries. I hope you don't have to fight them at the end. I don't know. So I did that, played that. But yeah, like Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West. And then obviously I'm sure I'll enjoy the next gen 2K21 and possibly Madden, but yeah, I need to finish. So I haven't finished God of War, haven't finished Spider-Man, have not finished Control, have not finished Ghost of Tsushima. So that's four games right there. And you can throw in Cuphead, which I don't know. That game is a beautiful game, but that shit will just make me so angry. And then Rod posted this other game, Night in the Woods, and that looks fucking great. And that's a PS4 independent game that I looked at the review. Like, I saw Rod had posted a picture of it. I was like, what's that? Is that good? This game came out in 2017. And it looks dope. So I'm gonna have to get that. That's only $20. So that's like, once I beat a couple of these games I already got, this one's on my list. So I think I'm good until I start seeing these Horizon trailers and God of War, mainly Horizon. If that's like spring 2021, then you might see me change my tune. But for now, I'm like, I'm good. I'll get this Miles Morales game. Of course I will. I'll get it for PS4. And it's, you know, I got the Pro, and hey, I'll be okay. Yeah, so I've been playing God of War. I played that for a good while yesterday, and I've been liking that. That is really good. I'm just kind of like locked in. The only danger is, like, I was playing that Spider-Man, and I was like, I was getting my ass kicked, and I was like, yeah, I just need to focus on just one game at a time, because the mechanics are just like so different. So I just need to focus on this. I think I'm two to three real solid sit downs from beating that game, from just finishing the story. And there are certain things where you want, like with Horizon Zero Dawn, what made that game good is I got to like level 50 of like XP and strength and all that. And Aloy just became this like dominant force. So I think you just got to get your, really, it's funny because it's like, it's such a masculine game. It's such like, oh boy, like Kratos is this tough warrior, and he's like taking his son. Basically the game is like, you're trying to bury your wife's ashes with your son, and you fight all these monsters along the way, and there's some plot twists and here and there, and it's like Greek mythology and whatnot. And but the way that you get better at the game is like getting all this armor. You got to get all this drip, you know, you get all these, you get his outfit together, and he can fight all these people. It's great. That's what I noticed about Ghost of Tsushima. I see all these people. I was like, God damn. Like, it was one dude had, I think it was the homie, oh man, Peloton Poppy, my man Peloton Poppy on Twitter. He took a picture I think it's Jin, whoever the lead character in Ghost. I only play like 3 hours. But they had all this adornment on his character, and it's like, you spend all this time like getting an outfit all this time getting that. I guess that's how RPG games work. Like, you get your guy or gal an outfit, and then they can take on the whole world. What is that telling our kids? Like, if you have the right outfit, you can, no, let me stop. But that's what it's about. So I guess that's the fun in it. You log all these hours in, and you get like, because I think Horizon is special to me because that's the first time in my adult life. I think it might be the first time in my life where I played a game for such a long time, and you get all this experience. You get all this XP and these, you know, it just becomes like you just kind of become this monster. But if you finish the game and you do get to a certain level, I mean, if you get to level 50 in Horizon Zero Dawn and then you play the Frozen Wilds, you can still get your ass kicked, and you get that vest. You get that, whatever that invincibility flak jacket is, that you, it's definitely fucking worth it. And I remember it was kind of like a chore to get it. And you do feel good about yourself, and your self-esteem is pretty high. Do girls want to hook up with you because of that? No, maybe some in that world. But I don't think any of the women that I was dealing with at the time that I was playing that game gave a fuck. But there is a YouTube channel called Girlfriend Reviews. So this girl watches her boyfriend play these games, and they made a YouTube channel about it, and she reviews what she saw in the game. It's pretty neat. I just got to find a girl like that. And I'm not even a hardcore gamer. One that supports me in the things that I like, and I support her as well. In turn, I do the same thing that she does for me. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, been playing God of War. Spider-Man PS4, I'll finish that. I'll finish the DLC once I'm done with God of War. And then maybe I will get into Control, I want to say. And that has a lot of DLC too. Yeah, so I've got stuff on the docket, and I need to get my use out of this PS4 Pro, because I did get that in February. I got to keep reminding myself as an adult, Chris, you paid $300 for the same system that you already had to get ready for a game, for one game, really. So that's what you did, Chris. It was a I'm not gonna feel bad for a purchase that I made. I've spent more money on shit that I didn't spend that much time on. Okay, let's move on. Television, Power Book 2 Ghost. I'm loving that show. God, it is so good. It is so good. It leaves you wanting for more at the end of every episode. I love it. I think it's great. Like I told you last week, I was apprehensive about this new thing that they were doing, but I'm really locked in, getting to know these new characters. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's excuse me, possibly one of my favorite shows right now. Lovecraft Country, I'm really enjoying too. Like episode 6 was remarkable. Like it just kind of built to, it's just like a nice, what do you call it? Evolution. I like the way the show's evolving. It's good. I'm enjoying that a lot. Lovecraft Country is good. I'm interested in seeing how everything turns out. Yeah, it's good. Apparently Journey Smollett's doing a new project or something, and people got mad because they said she was a breakout. And Black Twitter has been saying that, they've been saying, you know, well, she's been doing this since she was a kid and blah, blah, blah. Y'all niggas racist. And this movie called Spiderhead, a Netflix movie called Spiderhead with Chris Hemsworth and Miles Teller. Okay. I mean, I wouldn't really get mad at that. I mean, she just kind of, but I think it is what I think people are mad about is like now that she's kind of, because she's Eve's Bayou is a classic, is classic Black cinema. So she was in that movie and we're always going to know her, and she's worked consistently since then. Underground was a good show. I need to finish it. It's a show that I like, but I just kind of lost track of it. I think it's still on Hulu. But it was on UPN. It was on the CW, and like it wasn't on UPN. It was on, it's on the CW, and like that's like not a super mainstream. I don't know. It's just not in the white gaze. So once it's just that's show business in general. I think it's just I don't get too mad about that, but it's just like we know who she is. Like she's now, I guess, white people famous in the last like 3 to 5 years, because she was in Birds of Prey. She's one of the main characters in that. Just a fucking talented actress. She did that Tyler Perry movie. You know, she was in the. Did they give her AIDS in that? Is that the movie that they? Let me see. I'll see if I can remember. Where she cheated on her husband. He worked at he had a pickup truck. So I guess he had a pickup truck so he wasn't rich. What was it? She was in True Blood. Nah, man. She was on an HBO show. I don't know what they mean by that. That's not a breakout. Parenthood. She was on Friday Night Lights. I think she's just kind of coming into her own. And she's young. She's only 33. She's been a working actress since 1991. Because when you want to say breakout, I would almost say breakout would be. Damn, I was trying to say, where's Eve's Bayou? Yeah, Eve's Bayou was 97. I would say that's a breakout. And then you kind of see she's grown when she's doing like, I mean, she killed it in Friday Night Lights. She was in Parenthood for a little bit. She's just a really good actress, but I don't know. Props to her, man. Like, she's just kind of getting the credit she deserves, and we need some of these. Like I said, like I kind of figured out with Aisha Harris a couple years ago that, you know, now you're starting to see these young Black women come up, like, and you can kind of see their growth and how they are in the industry. So you know, it's a good thing. I wouldn't. You know, I can roll my eyes and say, oh my God, Journey Smollett, blah, 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 blah. But where have you been? Like, she's had a great career. So she's just getting her shine, man. She's great. She's fantastic. I mean, she's now become one of these people where it's like, you tell me she's in a movie, I'm going to go see it. She's like, you know, like I was talking about Alexandra Daddario last week. Journey Smollett's in something. I'm going to give it a shot. I mean, she was in this really sweet movie. I don't know if it's still on Netflix. Where is it? It's a movie called One Last Thing, and it came out in 2018. It's with Wendell Pierce, and I'll read you the blurb here on IMDb. Dylan Derringer, a lonely dentist in Florida, is confronted by a figure from the past, bringing news that sends him on an eventful and untimely life-altering journey of discovery. Pretty solid movie. It used to be on Netflix, I think. Now you can rent it for about $1.99 on Amazon Prime. I recommend that. Didn't know I was going to talk about that, but she's in it. She's a good actress, man. She's one of those people who's like, you tell me she's in something, I'm going to go see it. I'm going to check it out. I'm going to give it the time of day. So props to her. Get it how you can get it, man. Black people, we're just on the pulse of that shit early. We know, you know. So Lovecraft is good. Jonathan Majors is fantastic. He's like he's a dude that's blowing up. He's in talks to be, you know, Krang, some bad guy in the Marvel universe. Really fantastic. I told you guys about The Last Black Man in San Francisco. I hope that makes more people see it. Terrific, beautiful movie. I'm just enjoying it, man. It's some good TV. I just started watching Woke with Lamorne Morris. Sashir Zameda. She's another one. I know she's engaged to a comic and to Kenny DeForest. I know that, but she's very lovely. Very lovely. She's a star, man. I look at her and I'm just like, yep. Yep. She's a star. SNL wasted that. Wasted that talent, man. Okay. TV. That's about all the TV that I've kind of been trying to think if it's anything else in television. Told you about Pen 15 last week. Yeah, really, it's just been like Spargo's coming back. Chris Rock gonna be in it. Excited to see that. That's starting tonight. I will probably be asleep. I probably won't see that shit till tomorrow. It's gonna be a 2-hour one, so that's gonna be good. Been watching that. I'll be watching that. Lovecraft, The Vow. I've been watching that every week. Yeah, it's really about it. And just seeing these movies. I'll give you a couple. Let's do music first. I've just listened to Elzai. He's got a new album that came out on Friday. 7 Times Down, 8 Times Up. Album's really dope. It's fantastic. Elzai's got to be in my top 10. He's probably floating around like 6 or 7. Out of the people that I love and really listen to like that, like my top 5 is pretty like, you can't, it's like my top 5 as a refresher for everybody. It's Black Thought, Mos Def. Wait, let me try to do it in order of like, well, Black Thought to me is the best that ever did it. So Black Thought, Q-Tip, Mos Def, Common, and Fonte. 6 through 10 is kind of up for grabs, but like Elzai's in there, Odyssey's in there, Sky Zoo's in there, you know, Lupe's in there. You know what I mean? And then, you know, it's just, Lupe's like one of those guys. It's like Elzai can be like that too. They're so good, and at times they can be really dense that you kind of forget about them until you revisit their shit and you're just like, oh, this guy's the best to ever do it. Like, this guy, what the fuck? Like, Elzai is like, I've never stopped listening to Elzai like that, but it's been like, you know, like he had a project. I think was it with Static Selecta? Am I right about this? Crisis. Oh shit. No. So it was Crisis. He did this project with Crisis called Jericho Jackson. And it was good. It's kind of like a, It was kind of like an EP more of than an album, but that was 2018. And 2016, I raved over Lead Poison, especially this record, 216, and another one called Hello, which I think at that time were two of the most creative rap records of that year, that I had heard that year, you know. The third one being the record that I knew before I said this that I was gonna, oh my god, Sky Zoo did this record, because I'm talking about it, I gotta tell you what the hell is the name of that record. He did the joint project. Oh boy, I wanted to sound cool, you guys. I wanted to sound cool and give you the easy truth. The easy truth with Apollo Brown. Where the fuck? Normally, why do they do this? So any other time, you could just click on the fucking. You click on the fucking thing and they would give you the link. So now I'm like wasting more time as I'm trying to talk to you guys about this. What is the name of the record? It's on the Stretch and Bob show. It's like he was a guest, like, because Sky Zoo's just a big fan and he's like a great historian of hip hop and he just really appreciates the origins and everything like that. And so like when he was a kid, he used to listen to the Stretch and Bobbito show, the Stretch and Bob show, and he used to bring a guy in, interview him, and then they would do a freestyle. And so he's doing it. Apollo Brown cut it as if he was on the show, and then he did this beat, and then they fucking do it as if he was on that show. And it's really fucking cool. And there's also some good other really good records on here, like Jordan's in a Gold Chain, Basquiat on the Draw, just to name a few. So Elzai is just, he's fantastic. And he's a special MC for me, because right around the time that I started doing stand up, it was like in 2009 when my life changed forever. I remember when I used to go to church, and it was like the week that I started doing stand up, and I went to church, and I was like in the parking lot of a strip mall. I don't know what I was about to do. I think I was going to go get something to eat, or I was going to the grocery store or something. I was sitting in the car. I was listening to this record called The Leak, and it was on his first proper album called The Preface, which came out in 2008. And I'm sitting in my car. He's got this record and he's talking about, and it's the first record on the album. And he is, well, there's the intro and then the second track, but it's the first full song anyway. And he's just talking, he's rapping his ass off. And he talks about, like, I can actually give you the fucking line. I don't want to give you the exact line, because you'll be like, you didn't rap it just like he did, you fucking asshole. But he was just talking about It's the Leak, where he's just leaking and all, like, he's just pouring himself out into the music. And he says, like, I know it sounds fucked up and deserves a little tweak, but this is everything I am. So it's like, this is me right now. I'm putting this shit out there. It's not perfect, but this is me. And I was like, and I remember just like listening to that, and I just like cried. It wasn't like I just kind of felt that shit. And my best friend, we were talking. And we always talk about music. And I was like, yo, man, I'm going to give him that. I'm going to give him the leak. You know, when I get on stage, I'm giving him that preface. You know what I'm saying? I'm coming out there and I'm going to give it to him, you know? And yeah, man. So he's one of those instrumental people that, like, just kind of like the way that guy raps, man. He's incredible, man. He's one of those dudes that I think Joe Budden calls him, like, I know he calls Lupe an alien, But and I think he does call Elza an alien too, just because the way, like, it's like out of this world shit. And it just seems like this album is like just kind of focused and like just like he just seems like he's locked in. He's just laser focused. And it's just on point, man. The production is really good. It's just, he's got this record called Light One, Right One. It's just like in the pocket. Potential is another really great record. And I've been seeing like a lot of people, you know, on the timeline talk about it. And it's like, in the past, I wouldn't really hear people like shouting him out, like really giving Elza his props, but like they're giving it to him, man. So I'm glad he's getting like some love. I hope this does really well for him, because it is like one of those things where like somebody was like, yeah, man, this Elza is dope. Like, these Detroit guys are just like different. And it's true to a certain degree. I mean, I think it's true, man. These guys are hard, man. Like Royce, you know, he's one of those dudes that doesn't get a lot of credit. Even Black Milk, who's mainly a producer, is just like, he's fucking great, you know? Yeah, so this, I highly recommend the new Elza, Seven Times Down, Eight Times Up. You know, he was following me at one point on Twitter, and I tried to reach out to him to get him to do my podcast. It wasn't anything fanboy creepy, but he unfollowed me. But I don't know. He's still a great rapper. Still like his stuff. You know, whatever. I just sent him an email. Hey, would love to have you on. Like, I've had some of your buddies that have been. I didn't even say that. I just said to people, you know, sometimes when I reach out to people, I said, I've had this person on, this person, so you know I'm not a fucking creep or weirdo, you know. But yeah, I thought that was funny. But I will say, like, if you're not up on Elza, I would check out, you could obviously check out The Preface, which is, you know, from like 12, 13 years ago. And or you can check out this song. Check out the song that I mentioned, The Leak. There's one of my favorite, I think my favorite Elza song. Ooh, that's kind of, because that's on Any Given Day. It could be something different. But I would say my favorite Elza song is this record called Deep. And it's from this, like, an EP called The Leftovers. And this song is just like, it's like, to kind of break the fourth wall a little bit, Deep is a record that would be on my playlist before I would do shows. Like, I'd be driving around in a car. That would be a song that I would listen to and like on repeat a few times, because it's just like, he just spits really hard. And he's got this Transformers record. not Transformers record, but a Transformers reference. He has one on this album too, but it's just like, and you're just like, oh shit, it's like you hear it, you're just like, oh my god, because then like you're just like, oh, that's a dope line, and then you're like, oh, he's a nerd too, and it's like, it's cool, you know. So that's a dope record. If you have not heard of Elza, just go to YouTube or go Google Deep by Elza. Also, there's a Lupe Fiasco dropped a new song called Barbecue Chicken Thighs. I think it's called Barbecue Chicken. Let me see. I just want to make sure I got it right. Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, it's called Lupe. It's called Barbecue Chicken Thighs. And it's good, man. It's like, it's a good song. And he's just like freestyling, you know. And then he has this Ghost of Tsushima reference. I was like, ah, I knew he was going to do that. Because like, I see all these, he does these videos of him like in a kimono and with a katana blade and like doing like, you know, battle stances and shit. And he does that, and it's like, yeah, he's got to be. And I tweeted this a couple days ago. I was like, yeah, Lupe. I knew Lupe had to be the first person to reference Ghost of Tsushima. You know, it's yeah. So he's really into them arts, as the homies from the Firestarter crew say. So yeah, man, I'm happy about the way like these guys. I'm happy the way these late 30s, early 40s rappers are doing. I'm happy with the work they're doing. How old is Lupe? Lupe's got to be like 2 years younger than me. I think he's gonna be like 38. How old is he? Yeah, he's 38. Yeah, that motherfucker can rap. So Elzai, Lupe, check that out. Yeah, I'm really happy about music. And let's get some movies. God, I've been blabbing a lot, man. Let me get these movies out of the end. Let's see. Okay, so the first movie that I'll talk about, I got three. Okay, yeah, let's do these three and we'll call it an episode. I really want to get to this Welch's grape soda that I bought on Friday. that's so black. Welch's grape is like, you don't see it that much. And when you see it, you got to get some, right? I'm just not in an area where I guess they don't have it that much. Cause grape soda, you can't just get any grape soda. That's where people go wrong. Because I don't think Crush is that great. You know, they don't sponsor me, so I don't think, who cares? Sunkissed grape isn't bad when you can find it, but Welch's grape is good. I used to have a boss, God rest her soul. We used to have like pizza parties. The company would give us, they have a party where you get like roast beef and like, you know, fish and vegetables and salad and stuff. You have like a Christmas, you know, party or whatever. But like our department, you know, our bosses would get us pizza and sandwiches for lunch. And it used to be a tradition. And my boss was like, she's like, where's the grape soda? We got to make sure you get grape soda. She's like, she just did not give a shit. I was like, oh, you all perpetuating stereotypes. Like, I don't care. It's good. Shit is good. Grape and orange. Ah, man. Good boss. She was nice. Taught me everything I know. All right, so the first movie that I checked out this week is a film called Pink Opaque. And this is an independent film written and directed by Derek Perry. I don't know. I hadn't heard of any of the actors in this, but I saw the trailer for this a couple weeks ago. I was like, oh my God, this looks good. This looks interesting. And it's about a college student who's a senior in college. He's in LA and he's a film student and he's trying to finish up his movie. And if he doesn't finish it, he'll flunk out. He's trying to finish his film, his student film, to graduate. And this guy, this kid is, he's black and he is in LA. He's couch surfing with one of his classmates and he gets kicked out from that situation. He's living in his car. He is away from home. His mom's like sacrificed all this money for him to go to college. He's finally about to finish, but then his teacher is not liking what he's doing with his student film. So he's trying to finish that. And then he's got this girlfriend who is Korean and this girl is a beautiful girl and she's a fashion designer. And she gets a job to go to New York and she's gotta go to New York and he's contemplating moving with her and he wants to move with her. And this girl has an older brother who is he's selling pills and he's living the wrong life and there's shit going on. And then this kid meets up with his estranged uncle who is a Hollywood producer that lives in the hills and he's got shit going on and worlds collide. I bought this movie for like $5 and I low key regret it. I was kind of like, should I have just rented this? This movie was okay. It just had, it had potential to be really good. I think the acting in some places was kind of spotty. Cinematography was beautiful. I thought it was just okay. If this was on Netflix, it's definitely one of those movies where you can kind of watch late at night. I would say maybe wait till this gets on more streaming services, if this goes to Prime for free. But it's not something that you have to rush out to see. I would say I give it a C. I mean, I think that the cinematography was fucking fantastic. Story was interesting. I just didn't care for it too much. And I was kind of bummed out because I was really hyped for it. And I think maybe if I would have just like rented this, I'd have been like, all right. But it was okay. C plus. The next movie was a movie called Driveways. And this movie stars Brian Dennehy, Hong Chow, and Lucas J. And Brian Dennehy is obviously the biggest star. Rest in peace. This is one of his last films. Hong Chow was most recently, was the big movie. She was in Downsized. She was also in Watchmen, Inherent Vice, and she's in on the Homecoming TV show, which I have not seen, but I heard it was good. And this movie was fucking beautiful. I loved it. I'll read you the blurb. A lonely boy goes with his mother to help clean out his late aunt's house and forms an unlikely friendship with the neighbor who is a war veteran. Man, this movie is 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. And I want to say that the reviews started coming out. I think this is one of, this movie came out in 2019, but this is like, maybe it was doing the festival circuit in 2019. But I didn't hear about it until this year. So the streaming release date was in May. So this is a 2020 film. One of the best movies I've seen this year. So Boy State, Driveways, it's fucking beautiful. It's very simplistic. Mom and a son come from Michigan to, they filmed this movie in upstate New York, and Poughkeepsie's not really that far upstate, but I guess compared to Manhattan, it's an hour and change from Manhattan. So I guess you could say that is upstate. It's like Poughkeepsie's like less than an hour and a half from me. I don't know if it's that far. I love Poughkeepsie. That's where I performed the night before Kobe passed away and had a great set. That was the first, like, I think I told you that on the show earlier this year. Poughkeepsie, I like performing up there. I like it. And I had a really, one of my first, no, it's not my first headlining gig, but it was a gig where I would say it's an A room. I headlined. I had a good time. It was very sentimental to me. Somebody dropped out of the show and I got called up to the majors and did my thing. Really cool experience. So they filmed it in Poughkeepsie, some of it at least. And Brian Dennehy, great actor. It's so funny. I was watching an interview that he did last year when it was running the festival circuit. And he was like, yeah, it was a good movie. It was a good script. The kid was good. You know, he's just kind of like to the point. And it was really fucking good. I didn't cry. I thought I was going to cry. You know, it's one of those movies where I think I'm going that it might make me cry. But I was just like watching this. I was like, God damn, this is good. Jesus Christ. This movie, it was directed by Andrew Ahn, whose claim to fame was this movie called Spa Night. This like young Korean kid who's closeted, works at some spa and starts hooking up with these dudes. Basically what the movie is. I haven't seen it. I think that's what the blurb. I watched the trailer. Let's see. A closeted Korean teenager follows his desires and finds more than he bargains for at a Korean spa. I don't know if this is a Korean film. It's an American film, but it's just like maybe he's in Koreatown or something. But yeah, like so. And then he does this movie Driveways. He did not write Driveways. Paul Thareen and Hannah Boss wrote this film. It's beautiful, man. I really love this. This is like a sweet movie. And I had to text Jeff Cerulli. I was like, yo, dude, I'm watching this. I'm like maybe 15, 20 minutes in. And I texted him. I was like, man, this is great. I'm watching this right now. You got to see it. It's so good. It was just kind of like, I don't want to speak in too much hyperbole, but I low key want to say that it's like Columbus a little bit. It kind of gave me the same vibes. I don't know if because they're Asian characters in it, but I don't know, man. It's just like just a very quiet, simplistic. It's just kind of bare bones. There's like what, like maybe 3 or 4 locations. Maybe 5 to 6 locations in the movie. Very small, could almost be a play. I don't know, man. It's just a beautiful film. I'm kind of like one of those. I'm a real fan. Like in with music, I'm a fan for horns. I'm a fan of horns, and with films, I'm just like. I'm a fan of like really intimate handful of characters that you get to know and just like these really surprisingly sweet moments from characters that are just like that are really just ancillary characters that were just like, oh my God, that was fucking, oh man, that made me feel good. You know, it was just like, oh fuck, I wasn't expecting that. That was really sweet. Wow. You know? Yeah, funny. Couple funny moments in there. Yeah, it's one of the best movies I've seen this year. I highly recommend this. It's definitely worth... How much did I pay for this? I rented it. I could have just looked at this screen that I had. Let's see how much it says from $3.99 from the Google store. You can rent it on YouTube. YouTube is $2.99. So, I mean, if you're looking for something, you want something that's really just really good character stuff, man, it's really fucking good. Yeah, I really love this movie. Yeah. And it's kind of bittersweet to see Brian Dennehy, when one of his last roles, I think he died in April. He didn't have COVID, but he died of like other complications. But yeah, and it was just like the way that they were kind of confronting death. I'm not spoiling anything, but there's one character that just kind of that stuff just kind of gets sobering, and there's like this acceptance, and it's like you think, I mean, as somebody that. Like really wants to be in the biz, really wants to like really chew on some real meat as an actor. You think about somebody like Brian Dennehy that's been doing it for most of his life and the way that he was just kind of like at ease with, it's just fucking good, man. So fucking good. I love this movie. Yeah. The last movie I want to talk about is a film called Misbehavior. This movie just came out this week. It is about a group of women, part of the Women's Liberation Movement, create a plan in order to disrupt the 1970 Miss World Beauty Competition in London. This movie was directed by Philippa Lothorp, and written by Rebecca Frayn and Gabby, Chiappe. I rented this because Gugu Mbatha Raw was in it, and you know how much I'm in love with her as an actress and as in general. She played Miss Grenada, who was the first black woman to win the Miss World competition 50 years ago in 1970. And this movie was all right. I mainly rented it because I thought it was going to be mainly about her. It was about her to a certain degree, but it was also about like the other people around it. Like Bob Hope was played by Greg Kinnear, who I think did a good job. Greg Kinnear has been one of those like actors that's just been like quietly killing it, even though he got some Oscar buzz at one point. I forget which role it was for, but I don't want to go off on too much of a tangent, but I think Greg Kinnear is a great actor. He does a good job playing Bob Hope, and just like they were dealing with that stuff, and then like it was mainly about, you know, like Keira Knightley's in it also. Jesse Buckley, one of my new redheaded crush, was in it, and she's good in it. Keira Knightley's good. It just made me like Keira Knightley's only 35, and she's been doing it for a long time. She's 2 years older than Journey Smollett, which is kind of like you forget how long these women have been acting. Like Keira Knightley, I guess you would say was her breakout. Let's get into this a little bit. Let's see, because when you're dealing with this stuff. She's born in 1985. And when I remember her being in Pirates of the Caribbean, I don't know if that came out. Yeah, because Pirates of the Caribbean came out before Atonement. King Arthur. Yeah, let me see. She was in Star Wars Episode One. Yeah, okay. So some of this stuff I don't. Coming Home. Phantom Menace. I don't really remember her in that. When was the first Pirates of the Caribbean? 2003? Yeah. Because you could say her breakout, she's been doing shit since she was a kid too. I think she was like 11. She's like 5 years younger than me. She's 35. Yeah. Yeah. Bend it like Beckham. Maybe. Huh. Bend it like Beckham 02. So I was 22. She would have been 17. Pirates comes out a year later. She got love. So Pirates came out first. That's a big ass Disney movie. Atonement doesn't come out till 2007. And she got nominated for Atonement, I want to say. I'm going on a tangent here. Keira Knightley Oscar. Oscar nominations. So she got, she didn't get, oh man, really? I was wrong. So she got nominated for Pride and Prejudice. And then Imitation Game. So was that Saoirse Ronan that got love for Atonement? Yeah, you going, sir? Damn. I'd be fucking up how to spell Saoirse Ronan's name. Oscar. Okay, so Saoirse got the love. So Saoirse got the love in 08. She was the girl that told. I low key vaguely remember Atonement, but I know like the, okay, all right, fair enough. All right, but you can say Keira got shit. Damn, I was just on the page. Kira didn't get love until she was Oscar love. Journey's never gotten it. So she would have been 21. So Keira Knightley's been around for a long time. This film critic, what, Ciara Wardlow, said, it was pretty funny, tweet did a lot of numbers. Let me go to my likes. She said, seeing Keira Knightley outside of a period piece is like running into a teacher outside of school. Outside of a period piece. Yeah, I read it wrong. Seeing Keira Knightley outside of a period piece is like running into a teacher outside of school. Like, you can't stop Keira Knightley from being in a period piece. And that's what this one was. I was just kind of hoping more of Gugu being centered, but it was mainly about like Keira Knightley's character being a part of the women's liberation movement. And I get, like, there was this one scene where, this pivotal scene where I was like, oh, okay, this is like you arguing with your mother, you're dealing with this thing. I was like, okay, that's a good scene. But do we really need, like, I wanted to see more of Gugu. And apparently, so Gugu in Bata Raw plays the Jennifer Hostin, who is the first woman to win the Miss World contest. And there's a scene where she wins. And it's this really powerful scene. Like, they actually, I was watching Gugu and Batha Raw on the Tonight Show, talking to Jimmy Fallon, and he played one of the scenes in the scene that I'm talking about. And I watched the scene. I was like, okay, yeah, Gugu, this is like your shit. Get your shit, you know, get it in. And she's talking to Keira Knightley's character. And so basically, it's really not, you know what? I'm going to just say it. Because, okay, so Keira Knightley and this crew of women break. It's a historical thing. But if you didn't know it, you know, if you don't want to listen to it, just for the spoilers, whatever. Anyway, so these women, Keira Knightley and Jesse Buckley's characters, who are real life people, they come in they get tickets to the pageant or whatever. And then at one, Bob Hope is on stage making his like little jokes that are come off as sexist, and they start making noises and causing confusion and shit like that. And they get arrested, blah, blah, blah. The pageant goes on in spite of that. And Jennifer Hostin, played by Gugu and Batha Raw, wins the contest. And it's all dope. It's black woman winning shit. And there's a scene where Gugu's character, Jennifer, is in like the bathroom, and she's in there, and Keira Knightley's getting arrested. She's like, I got to go to the bathroom. Let me just, you know, they let her go to the bathroom. Gugu and Batha Raw is in there trying to get peace and quiet after she won. And they have this dialogue together, and she's just like, oh, you know, I thought, you know, I didn't mean to, you know, like impede on your situation and blah, blah, blah. It's a really powerful scene. And then Gugu's character stands up for herself, and it's a really dope ass moment. And then it just gets undercut by at the end where she just at the end, right at the end of the scene, she says she gets dragged, like Keira Knightley gets dragged away by the cops because she's getting arrested. They just let her go to the bathroom, but she has this break. And these two main characters meet each other. And this didn't happen in real life because they hadn't met before until Jennifer Hostin got to interview those women that they did like some anniversary thing. And she entered, it's this really good Time Magazine article. It's called The First Black Miss World Looks Back on Her Tumultuous Win 50 Years Later. And she talked, they interview her and she talks about it. And so they carry Keira Knightley's character away. And then Gugu's character is like, oh, don't hurt her. Be careful. It's like, ah, fuck that. They just infringed on your moment. Like, fuck that. This shit didn't happen. But then the black character has to be like, oh, don't hurt this white lady that fucked up my moment. You know, like, again, oh boy, these like white women coming in and fucking up this moment for people. And if you really, if you watch the movie, it's I wouldn't even say it's subtle, but there's a couple of moments where it's like, yeah, I'm in this pageant and it's about beauty, but I can use this as a springboard to do X, Y, and Z. Like, I'm not judging these women. I ain't judging these women who do porn. I ain't women who do pageants. I'm not judging these women who work at Hooters. And I'm damn sure I'm just not going to judge them, because I just gave you three examples, but like these women that do these pageants, they do it for their own reasons, and most of them want to be there. It's not like some toddlers and Tierra shit. These women, for whatever reason, they want to be there. And yes, it's about, you know, you could say X, Y, and Z about placating the patriarchy and all this stuff. But there were some women who used this as an opportunity to try to better themselves and move on to other things. Like I don't even know if they still, I think they, when did Steve Harvey mess up that Miss World thing? You know what I'm talking about. They still do it. I think they did it before the Rona hit. I would say they did. Maybe they did it last year, one of these competitions. I dated a couple girls that did them, you know, light flex. Never turned out to anything great, but I did, you know. So it's not really even a flex. They're just pretty. They were smart too, some of them. Oh fuck, I'm gonna get canceled. Yeah, but you let them decide to do that. These women are, it's just kind of, I don't know. I guess that's one of the things that sparked the women's lib movement, so they say. I didn't know that. I didn't know anything about it until, you know, Gugu and Batha Raw was in it. I mean, this movie is a what? What do they give it? I thought I had this up, man. Let me find it, and we'll end this, and I'll get to my grape soda. It's currently an 83 on Rotten Tomatoes, 2.5 out of 5 on IndieWire. It's okay. I mean, if you're a fan of Gugu like I am, it's good to see her in the movie, but I don't know, man. They got to give her something else where she's got more meat to chew on. And this is a really cool historical figure, and she does great like accent work and stuff too. She's fucking brilliant. I don't know, man. I just want more for her. Like, Fast Color was okay. She's good in everything, but you know, Motherless Brooklyn, she was like kind of like a, she was the girl, but it was still just like, you know, they got to give her more shit. Like, there's one thing that she did that I guess I have to see because she's in it. It's a period piece that she's in where she plays like a lesbian lover. And it's like some forbidden love movie. Let's see. It's not. Is it? No. Oh, she's going to be in the Mary Seacole. Oh, shit. She got some shit coming up, man. She's always working. Oh, she did A Voice in the Dark Crystal? Wow. Okay. That they just canceled on Netflix, I think. This movie called Summerland. During World War II, an English woman opens her heart to an evacuee after resolving to be rid of him in this moving journey of womanhood, love, and friendship. It's her heart to an evacuee. I guess Gugu's to the evacuee. I don't know. I know it's like she's, it's a, I think it's a forbidden love story. But I know I got to see it eventually. But yeah, man, I love seeing her act and I love seeing her in this stuff. But man, give her some more leading shit. Really great supporting character in The Morning Show. Obviously, she's amazing. She's going to be in Loki. They're back to filming that. Yeah, man, I love her stuff. But Misbehavior, you can wait. It's okay. Like, it's fine. You know, it's like three actresses that I really like, and there's some funny moments. Greg Kinnear is good. They tried to make a lot out of that too, you know. Like it's. I would obviously just being a fan of Gugu. It's just like I would want more. I just want more. Okay, so that's it, folks. Thank you so much for listening. I'm gonna get to this grape soda, and I hope you all have a great week and stay safe. Try not to let things get you down. Vote. Some people will tell you not to vote, but I would say vote if you can. Vote for Joe Biden if you want things to be a little better than they are now. If you want the ship to be steered better than it is. How about that? You know, it could be a lot better with better leadership. So I'm not going to be like those podcasters that try to tell you to be wishy-washy and say that there's good people on both sides and that some cops are good. Yeah, some cops are good. And some black people are nice. There's some good cops, and there's good black people that don't deserve to be shot. And I would say there's more black people in our country that don't deserve to be cops than there are don't deserve to be shot than there are good cops. So most of them, you probably shouldn't be shooting. If they're doing something bad, just maybe arrest them, tase them, and let the, find them or something. But don't give them a chance to state their case. Huh? How about that? How about you give these people a chance to state their case and to have their day? And I'd rather to have these people alive and not give their families reparations that I talked about earlier on in this episode. How about that? And I can maybe be wishy-washy or on the fence about certain movies that I don't know if I really liked or didn't, but I'd rather be on one side of the fence when it comes to killing black folks and cops being good. You know, I'm not going to cut that out. I'll just leave it like it is. Whatever. Have a great week. Be nice to each other, and try to have some empathy, and watch Driveways. It'll make you feel good. All right. Take it easy, everybody.